Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. And for those who are visiting us, welcome to our little church, Redemption. And we appreciate having you here for those in person and those that are online. So I'm a once a year preacher kind of guy, but somehow this is my second time in a couple weeks. So just bear with me. I didn't go to theology school or know all the fancy stuff, so I'm going to just speak to what God is talking about, right? And I'm really excited that, yeah, I get to talk about something that I'm passionate about, something that I love to do. We're just going to jump right in. You guys know my style. I like participation, so just jump in and work with me here, right? So this is from Luke 19, 11 to 27. The topic today we're talking about is doing business for God. So we're continuing on in our series of Kingdom Finance. Last Sunday, Pastor Barry preached on Luke 12, 13 to 24 about the fool, the rich fool, right? The guy who said, hey, I know how to farm. I'm going to figure all this out. I'm going to make so much money, and I'm going to sit back and just relax, you know, and then I'll be fine. And as we saw, you know, God talked to him and said, you don't even know if you're going to make it through tonight. And Pastor Barry talked about how we can steward our finances and invest it and so on, right? So today we're going to shift a little bit and look at how God wants us to actually do business for him, right? Because that's what he's called us to do. So before I jump into that, just a quick story because I like telling stories. So this past week, I want to give a shout out to my wife. She just came back. I'm so happy she came back. She's in the back there. So I usually travel for business and my wife stays home with the baby. And this time around, I got to be home with the baby and my wife traveled for work. And she always said, you know, one day I'm going to go away for work and you're going to miss me. And she did. And I was like, oh man, this is a lot of work. So I appreciate my wife for all that she does. And I'm just glad she's back. And to add on to it, I said, not only am I going to be a solo dad, I'm going to take on one extra task. I'm going to potty train our son. Yeah. So for those people here who are parents, have gone through this before, you're probably going to look at me and be like, what is wrong with you? Just stick with the taking care of the child piece, right? So I told my wife, I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start Friday. I'm going to keep him home from daycare, and I'm going to figure this out. And she says to me, she says, yeah, this is great. Are you sure you want to do this? I said, yeah, I can do it. She said, okay, go for it. Remember, you got to give him rewards. And I said, all right. No big deal. Kept him home. My friend gave me this book, All the Stuff You Gotta Do. And I was like, I got this figured out. This is easy, right? You just let them run around naked and then they're gonna figure it out. Well, there's more that comes to that, right? You gotta clean it up, right? And he's like learning, it's a new thing. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's like, this is new. I don't know what I'm doing. He's trying to figure it out. You know, he's like, I gotta, and then at one point I said, hey, if you do this thing, I'm gonna give you ice cream. And he's like, oh, this is great. And he says, and cookie? So my son's a great negotiator, right? So I said, okay, sure. I don't know about the cookie part, but all right, we'll figure it out as we go on, right? So we spend the whole Friday, and it's just a disaster. Like, I'm getting frustrated. He's like, you know, not going to the potty. And then as if he kind of planned this whole thing out, as the day was coming to an end, he knew, like, he's going to bed soon, and he's like, oh, this is the time. So he goes, and he does it. And I'm so excited. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you potty's in the potty, right? And I'm like, now you get ice cream. He's like, really? And cookie. And I said to him, I said, well, I don't know. Your lawyers didn't pass on that information about the cookie piece, so we're doing the ice cream. But anyways, that has nothing to do with the sermon today. Just wanted to say I'm glad my wife is back and potty training sucks. That's all. So we're just going to dive into text. I'm going to pray and we'll jump right in. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being our God. And thank you that all that you spoke in your word has meaning and has application for us as it did back then and today as well, Lord. So we pray that you speak through me, Lord, that I may decrease and you increase, Lord, and that your word would make an impact to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So when Pastor Barry asked me to preach on this topic, I've read this before many times, but I was like, I don't even know what to say. I'm like, this is a story. It's kind of, how does it apply to, you know, business? I was like, this is interesting, right? So I read a bit of different, you know, commentaries on this topic. And some of it talks about how, you know, this guy's talking about, you know, this It's about like the gospel that Jesus gives us and how we're supposed to steward it and utilize it, which is very true. And reading it, it can mean that as well. But one of the commentaries I read, which talked about actually this is, you know, can be translated to doing actual business. And I said, okay, how do we apply this to, you know, what God is trying to say? You know, if we look at the backdrop of this passage, it comes after the story of Zacchaeus, right? So we all know Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, right? And we know that the tax collectors were hated by the people at that time. I don't think we hate the CRA or the IRS, right? They take our money and we kind of like do our tax thing, but no one really, like, if we met someone who worked for the CRA or the IRS, we're not like, oh, you work for CRA, IRS, I hate you, right? But back in that time, like, the tax collectors were, like, people didn't like them at all. Because, first of all, you know, a lot of them weren't honest, you know? They took from people money that they shouldn't have taken from people. They misused their power, right? Sounds like government today, right? They misused their power to take what they could, right? But at the same time, here is Zacchaeus, and he's on a tree and sees Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm going to utilize the resources that you have. So come on down, and today I'm going to eat at your house. And we see the transformation that happens to Zacchaeus, right? He says, I will give away my resources to help the poor, right? And if I cheated anyone, I'll give back, you know, four times. Right, so there's this transformation that Jesus brings with what Zacchaeus possessed, right? Finances that he had. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to utilize that for me, right? So then he goes on, and at this point, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. And people who have been following Jesus to this point, they're thinking like, okay, this is the culmination of what we've been waiting for, right? And we see that in Peter's reaction when Jesus is actually getting taken, where he's like, we're going to fight. But in this time, they're saying, okay, he's going to Jerusalem. Now he's going to be king, and we're going to be ruling, right? This is our time to take over. And Jesus is like, time out. Actually, that's not how it's going to play out, right? He's like, let's take a break here for a second. So I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and things are going to be a little different because I'm going to go away and go get the kingdom. So I'll give you this parable so you kind of understand what I expect you to do in the meantime, right? So Jesus talks about this rich man, this noble, who wants to go, who's going to go away to go get the kingship, right? And he summons 10 of his servants. He doesn't summon everyone. He's probably got a lot of servants, and he summons just 10. Why 10? I have no idea. And he gives those 10 servants, you know, one mina each. And a mina back then is equivalent to one-fourth about of someone's salary, right? Yearly salary. So 3 months' worth of wages. And he says, hey, here's 3 months' worth of wages to each 10 of you guys. Go out there and do business for me, right? So he says, go and make money. And it wasn't like he said, okay, maybe you go and figure out what you got to do. He's like, no, I give you this money. Go and do something about it, right? As a military person, you know, there's it's a bit different, like, being in a civilian side, and it kind of weirds me out as I run a company, where you're like, hey, I need to do this. And people sometimes just don't do it. And then you're like, well, I asked you to do it. And they're just like, no. In the military, it's like different, right? It's like, I told you to do this. There's consequences. You know, this is what you're supposed to do. It's a command, like, especially when it's top down, right? If your buddy told you to do something in the military, you'd be like, yeah, sure, I'm not going to do it, right? But when the commanding officer tells you, hey, I expect you to do this, you do it, right? And sometimes it leads us into trouble with the military. I'm not going to expand into that. But it's one of those things where, you know, this noble is expecting people to actually do something about this, right? So how does it apply to us? You know, Jesus is calling us to go out and do business for him. And I know, you know, he called 10 people. He might not be calling everyone to do this. So I'm not saying all of us need to go out and be doing some sort of business, but if you feel like God's calling you to do that, you know, he's calling us to do business for him, and it's not just so we can make money for ourselves, right? Jesus is calling us to do business for him so we can help further the kingdom, right? And as we know, all things belong to Jesus anyways, right? Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, right? So everything belongs to Jesus. Everything belongs to God. It's all His, right? So when we were little kids, we used to sing that song. He's got the whole world in His hand, right? Remember that song? It's so cool. But that song, right, as a little kid, we're learning this, that He's got everything in His hand, right? Everything belongs to Jesus, and He wants us to use it to further His kingdom, right? In the book of Acts 4, 32 to 35, we see in the early church, people leveraging their finances, right, to further the kingdom, people selling fields and all kinds of things, and they're using that to actually further the kingdom. We see Paul himself doing business as a tent maker, right? Paul's a missionary. He raised capital, he raised money, yet he used his own talents to actually also further the kingdom using finances that he gained, right? And one of the things that I took out of this passage is that doing business is risky. It's not an easy thing to do, right? To leverage our finances to figure it out. It's risky. These guys who actually went out and followed what he told them to do, they're risking a lot of things, right? They could have lost everything. And the passage actually doesn't talk about what would happen had they lost everything. We don't know, right? But to say this man was a harsh man, right? And we don't know what would have happened to them, but they still took the risk to go out and do business, right? And they did what they were called to do. So same with us as well, right? We're called to go out and do business for God, right? And I'll talk about the end how some practical examples it would look like. And God's given us, you know, everyone here has the ability to do business for God, right? And I'm not saying that everyone here is called to do it. We're all called with different gifts and different things, but everyone has the ability to do it, right? So if we look at this passage, for example, he gave everyone the same exact thing. So this is, it kind of contrasts with the story in Matthew where everyone gets a different, the story of talents where he gave one X amount of talents, a different talents, and they went out and multiplied. This is, everyone gets the same thing. And he says, go out and do business for me, right? So they all have an equal opportunity to go out and do something about it. And I don't think the master necessarily cared about the amount of multiplication that would happen to the money that he gave them, right? Because we see that at the end when he tells a guy, he's like, hey, you could just put it in a bank and earn me some, you know, interest, right? I think he's more interested in our faithfulness and our obedience to do what he's asking us to do, right? The multiplication doesn't really matter. And I think if we lose everything, I don't know. I'm just looking at it, you know, thinking that he would have actually been okay with that, knowing that there's risk that comes with doing business, right? When my wife and I spent some time in Congo in 2018, and it was quite inspiring. My parents are missionaries, and they work in the Congo. So we went to Congo, and Anna was working with the women's ministry, and I was doing some youth movement work and community assistance stuff, and just learning from the people. We went there to just learn and see what they needed and how we could supplement. And one of the things we learned is the women in Congo are very entrepreneurial, especially the women in the church, right? These women wake up early at 5 a.m. Most of them work in farms or market. They get up early at 5 a.m. They go out to the farms, to the fields, and they do all their farming, and then they harvest the stuff, and they bring it to the town later on, and they sell it in the market, and they make money. That's how they make their living, right? They take care of their families that way. But one of the things that these women, you know, we asked them, you know, why do you do this? Besides making money, they said, well, we want to participate in what God is doing in our church. They're like, you know, we don't want to just wait for people to send us money from overseas. We want to be a part of what God is doing here, right? And it's one of those crazy things that I remember this story, and Anna and I were both like going, wow, like it almost brought tears in our eyes. We were getting ready to leave the Congo, and we had a good time with these people, and the ladies came to my parents' house, and they said, hey, we put something together to give you for your travels. And it was like, wow, these people have so little compared to what I had, what my wife and I had. And we were like, no. And they said, no, this is us participating. You came here to do God's work, and we want to be a part of this, right? So they're using their resources wisely. They're doing business for God so that they can invest in the kingdom of God. My second point here I'm going to make is that, you know, there's urgency in us doing business for God. So it's not a thing we can just take and be like, okay, I'll do it whenever I have time. You know, if you look at this message, the guy says, you know, the noble says, go, here's 10 minas, go out and do business for me. He never says, you know, I'll be back tomorrow, I'll be back next week, I'll be back in a year. You know, he just says, do business for me, and then he'll be back, right? So there's urgency in that. This guy could have just been like, okay, yeah, the guy's gone. Everyone hates him anyways. We'll just take our time, right? But that's not the case. I'm assuming the guys who came back and reported, hey, I made X amount of money, jumped to the opportunity, right, and went out and started doing stuff. So there's urgency. It's a matter of urgency, right? God expects us to participate in his kingdom. And doing business for him, there's urgency, right? We can't just sit around and wait and say, oh, someone else would do it, right? If God put it in our heart to do it, we have to step up and go out and do this thing, right? You know, the third point I'm going to make here is he expects us to do business in a hostile environment. So why do I say this? If we look at this passage here, right, looking at, let me see here, sorry. Verse 14, he says, but his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to rule over us. So, you know, it's like it's a hostile environment, right, that these guys are operating in. So he has 10 noblemen. We only hear from three. We don't know what happened to the other seven. But I'm going to assume that maybe they're part of the people who sent to say, we don't want to do anything for this guy. We hate this guy. So can you imagine being the servants that are actually going out and doing the thing and investing in the midst of those people who hate this guy? Right? They're probably looking at you like, hey, why are you doing this? Don't you know this guy's terrible? He just takes money where he doesn't, it's not his stuff. He takes it anyways. Why are you doing this? Right? There's going to be discouragement. Right? People are going to look at you funny. You know, one example, I'll say, you know, I started my own business a year ago. God called my wife and I for me to leave my job, which was a scary time, and go and start a company. You know, we love missionaries. We've always given to missionaries, and we felt led to start a company so that we can leverage finances to help with missions, right? It's easy when I tell you guys, because you guys get it, right? It's easy to tell believers, hey, this is what I'm doing. People go, that's awesome. It's hard to tell an investor that, right? It's like, yeah, this is my story. God told me to do this. And they're like, huh? So you tell me you're going to make money to give to other people. And it's like, that doesn't sound very interesting, right? Just talking to other entrepreneurs that I meet, it's kind of odd to them. When they look at that and they go, really, this is what you want to do? Like, are you serious? This is not a founding story. Like, God just told you quit your job and then you did and then you're going to start companies. Like, and what if you fail? You know, there's all these things, right? So he expects us to operate in a hostile environment. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk, right? It'll be difficult. But he still wants us to persevere and continue to do that kind of work, right? And if we look at, you know, whatever kind of business we're in, we're working for God, right? We're not working for ourselves. Paul talks about in Colossians 3, 23, 24, you know, he says, whatever you do, you know, work at it with your whole heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive your inheritance, right? So God's telling us to whatever we're doing, right? So whatever work we're doing, we have to maximize that, right? When we're doing business for God, we have to maximize that because we're doing it for God. So you're not working for your boss. You're not working for you. You're not working so you make money so you can go and buy stuff. Like, that's a byproduct of that, right? We're working because God's called us to do the work for him, right? So one of the things we have to keep in mind, how does this look like when we're working for God, right? It's different than when you're working for your boss or working for yourself, right? When you're working for yourself or for your boss, you can be lazy if you want to. You can treat people terrible and it doesn't matter, right? Like, it's just like you're just working for yourself anyways. What does it matter, right? You don't have to put in a lot of effort. You can just kind of coast, right? But when you're working for God, it's a bit different. right? He calls us to a high standard of living, a high standard of work ethic, right? So we got to put our whole heart into what we're doing, right? Then this ties into it as well with, you know, investing for and working for the Lord, right? Yeah, God's called us to do work for him, and that's what we got to remember. And then my last point, I'm going really quickly so I can get to application here. My last point is upon his return, God's going to ask us to give an account, right? So this whole working for God and doing business for the Lord isn't just a thing we're doing just to do. There's an actual test at the end. And he's going to say, hey, Thomas, I gave you 3 weeks worth of wages, right? What did you do with it? Right? And then you have to give an account, right? Hey, Jeffrey, you're a lawyer, right? I gave you law practice. How did you leverage that for my kingdom, right? Hey, Michael, you're an accountant. You know, what are you doing to leverage what I gave you for my kingdom, right? So there's a test at the end, and he's going to ask us for an account. We always talk about getting an account for how we lived our lives, right? And we focus all of our attention on that, which is great, and we should, right? And I'm not saying don't ignore that for just this, but there is, I believe, an account that we must give to God about how we leverage the finances he gave us for his kingdom, right? As we see here, this master shows up and he says, you know, to his, he asks, the first guy comes up, he says, hey, you know, master, you gave me the one mina, it made it into 10, right? And he says, well done, my servant. And he says to him, well done, good servant. He told him, because you have been faithful in a very small matter, have authority over 10 towns, right? So this master's like, yeah, I gave them like 3 weeks worth of wages. Like, that's nothing to me. I just told them to go and figure it out. Like, it's small to me, but it was so important that the guys actually, like, is the action behind what they had to do, right? And then the second guy shows up and he says, master, your mina has made 5 minas. And he says to him, so you will be over 5 towns, right? So well done, you'll be over 5 towns. And then the last guy shows up. And this guy is like, okay, I know this guy is a terrible human being. He probably, if I lose his money, he'll probably kill me. So I am going to, you know, hide the money, right? I'm going to keep it. Nothing's going to happen to it. And the guy, like, if you really think about it, in a practicality standpoint, like, it's not a bad thing to do. Like, the guy was actually like, you know what, like, the stock market is down, you know? If I put the money in there, it's like, don't look at the stock market right now. It's terrible, right? The guy was just like, I'm not going to do this. I know this man is a harsh man, but if I just keep it, maybe all those other guys investing are going to lose their money. I'm going to have this, and I'm going to give it back, right? And then he said, I knew, you know, and it's funny that he says it. I would have probably just been like, hey, man, sorry, didn't have time. Just kept the money. Here you go. And the guy says to this, you know, to the master, says, masters, here's your mina. I have kept it safe in a cloth because I was afraid of you. Since you're a harsh man, you collect what you didn't deposit and reap what you didn't sow. Right? So he's essentially saying to the master is, I kept the money safe because I knew you're a terrible person. And and that's what I just kept it. So here you go. I didn't lose your money. And the master says to him, I will condemn you by what you've said, you evil servant. If you knew I was a harsh man collecting what I didn't deposit and reaping what I didn't sow, why then didn't you put my money in a bank? And when I return, I would have collected it with interest. So he said to those standing there, take this mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. But they said to him, master, he has 10 minas. Says, I tell you that to everyone who has more will be given, and from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. Right? So God is just saying here, like, and it's not even about, you know, multiplying the money. It's all about being faithful with what God's given us to do, right? And obeying what he's called us to do. And that's really what it came down to. This one guy, he's getting punished mostly just for disobedience. He was given a command and he said, nah, I'm not gonna do what you told me to do, you know, because I know you're a harsh man. And the master's like, yeah, if you knew I was a terrible person, just put it in a bank. The bank would give me some percentage return. Like, you know, why just keep it away? But this guy, it was a heart issue, right? It goes deeper than just him, you know, not investing the money. It was a heart issue. In his heart, he just didn't want to do what he was commanded to do, right? So I talked about some practical examples, right? What does it look like for us to do business for God in a practical way, right? Because maybe one example could be, just take time to learn about managing better finances, right? So we can leverage it. You can leverage it for the use of God's work. We have a lot of people coming to Vancouver, and the church is very good at giving. I mean, this is like Redemption Church. I've met a lot of people here who are very, very good at giving, right? People have the heart to give and participate, right? But what if you're able to grow that so you can participate even more, right? It makes a bigger impact. We can touch on more things, right? And God is calling us to do something like that, right? We talk about it in board level sometime, right? If we can grow what God's given us, we can bless the world even more, right? God might be calling you to, to start a business. Scary. He might be calling you to start a business, right? And go out and, start a business so that you can provide work opportunities for others, right? And make an impact in other people's lives, and not just your own pocket, right? And then God might be calling you to spend more time lending a hand to people who are in need, right? So we always look about the money side of things, but time is also money, right? God might be calling you to volunteer your time in places where you never thought, right? So now it's not just about you going home and playing PlayStation 4, 5, whatever. The latest PlayStation that's out there, right? Or watching Netflix or whatever. It might be calling you to spend time also helping people, right? And how does that work? I think we just have to have the heart to actually hear what God's telling us to do and be obedient and go out and do it, right? It's not going to be easy, like we talked about. You're in a hostile territory, right? As Christians, we know we are in a hostile environment all the time anyways, right? We're not called to be living in a place that everything is easy. The minute you said, I want to be a Christian, well, things just got much harder for you, right? Welcome to the club. And we need to remember that as we go and do things, right? One last thing is, God might be calling you to actually learn more about finances and actually take it seriously and take the time to read books. Pastor Barry actually recommended a couple of books for us. I think it was last sermon and one before. Take a look at that, right? Maybe God's calling you to learn more about finances so that you can leverage it for his kingdom. And at the end of the day, whatever it is that we do should be all about kingdom impact. Because as I said at the beginning, we might look at this passage and say it's about stewarding the gospel, right? But all the things tie in together, right? It all ties together. For us to be able to reach people, to send missionaries, for us to go out and do things like kids care and helping the missionaries, we need to deploy finances to do those kinds of things, right? And it all ties together, and we need to be able to better steward that, right? So with that being said, I don't end my sermons with a big fanfare. That's pretty much it, right? I thank you guys for allowing me to have this time to share this message to you. And I pray that God would touch our hearts as a church, as people, to allow us to see all that we do and to utilize our finances to do business for him. So let us pray. And transition on out. Lord, I thank you. Thank you so much for your word, Lord, and the practicality that it has in our lives. I pray for everyone in this place, Lord. I pray that your word may touch the hearts of the people, Lord, whether here or online. And I pray that as we go on this week, Lord, that we may look at opportunities that you've called us to do business for you. And help us to be good stewards of your finance that you've given to us, Lord. And help us to live in according to your word and to follow all that you've commanded us to do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.